Hello and welcome to the In for a Penny podcast. I'm Mark Schoffman, a freelance personal finance journalist, and I'm joined by my financial planner friend Joshua Gerstler, who runs an advisory business called The Orchard Practice.
Hello.
If you'd like to know a little bit more about us, you can check me out at www.cavendishcontent.com and Josh at www.topfs.co.uk.
Each episode, we aim to give our perspective on the world of finance and money, and discuss some of the issues that crop up in business as well as everyday life. We hope that you'll learn something from our podcast as well as have some fun too.
Hello and welcome for downloading the latest episode of
welcome
the In
for
a Penny.
Downloading? What does welcome for downloading mean?
Yeah, you're right.
Carry on.
Now I'm not going to stop. We're going to carry on because I've made a mistake and we're going to try and do these in one go.
Style it like out. Professionals.
Hello and welcome and thank you for downloading the latest episode of the In for a Penny podcast in the week that there's talk of World War III, Donald Trump blowing up that Iranian man.
Yeah.
And Iran aren't happy, are they? We could be dead before the next episode.
We could be.
Yeah.
In which case, thank you for being such law listeners. Yeah.
Oh, Prince Harry and Meghan may want to leave the royal family. Have you ever wanted to divorce your own family?
Apart from the wife?
No, not your wife, but your like family, your parents, in-laws. Say to them, right, we're not
well,
coming.
Parents and in-laws, that's two different questions there.
Yeah, well, would you ever, as a couple, say, we're not coming, we're not going to be
we're not coming for Friday
anymore.
Night dinner.
Yeah, we're not coming for Friday night dinner.
No.
No?
I like my family.
Do you think it'd be hard to do that? To
yeah.
Just cut it off?
I don't think it quite works like that.
No. What do you think they're going to do? What's your view on it?
I haven't really been following it that much because I'm not that interested.
You're
but
not.
Seeing as you've asked me, these things usually end in tears.
Yeah. Whose tears?
Someone's.
Okay. But the nation is gripped by it. It's all over the front pages. Despite the prospect of World War III, like people do seem more concerned that
because this is our monarchy, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's our heritage.
Yeah, but should we have to keep funding them if they're no longer royals?
No, we shouldn't have to fund Meghan and Harry if they leave.
Okay, and so if they then they want to become financially independent. So speaking of being financially,
I haven't heard from them yet.
No, I'm sure they'll call you when they need the help. But when one of the things when you do become financially independent, and they probably don't have to face now, is having to pay tax.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably don't have to worry about tax returns and what's coming out of their monthly payslip every month.
Yeah, welcome to the real world.
Yeah, welcome to the real world. One of the things you have to worry about when you're not a royal and you are financially independent is paying tax. And something I've often come across, which I find a bit confusing, is tax bans.
Okay.
So this isn't like rock bands, like your Slipknots or your Red Hot Chili Peppers. My musical references are very early 2000s, you'll notice.
Yeah, so is your outfit.
Yeah. So I thought, you're a financial advisor and you might know a little bit about tax.
Well, I'm also a chartered accountant.
Are you?
Yeah.
You don't put that in your signature.
You're probably right. I don't.
Yeah.
Because I don't practice it anymore.
Okay.
But you know I was a chartered accountant.
I
am a chartered accountant.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to talk about tax today. Income tax.
Income tax, no guarantee. That's the only Fools and Horses theme, isn't it?
It is indeed.
What's the full words?
No income tax, no VAT, no money back, no guarantee. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that today. Fantastic.
So.
Before we do.
Yeah.
And last time I was at your house, you were building something. And as I walked in your front door, I can see that you finished what I can only describe as a work of art. You have finished your bin stall.
Oh, yeah. That was ages ago.
Well, I haven't seen you since then.
Have you not?
I mean, what's the purpose of the bin stall?
I don't think when someone comes to visit your house, the outside of your house is obviously the first thing they're going to see.
Sorry, when they come to visit the outside of your house?
When they come to see you,
yeah.
The first thing they're going to see is the outside of your house.
Correct.
And they don't want the bins to be the first impression.
Agreed. So don't leave them outside your house.
Where else? Yeah, but not all of us are blessed with side access.
Oh.
Or a garage you can put your bin inside.
Okay.
So ours have to sit outside where they are, which is right under the kitchen window.
Yeah.
So rather than them being on display, and if we've had a week with a lot of rubbish, the bags pile up because our cleaner is incapable of pushing them down and squashing them down.
Yeah.
Despite the extra money we now pay her. So I thought, well, I want to cover it up. So I paid for a bin store, which came flat pack. They didn't tell me that I had to build it.
You know what? I'm joking, but it looks good.
Thank you. It hasn't fallen apart yet, which is a record for me, because often my DIY is more like can't do it yourself. See DIY.
So I've got so many questions for you today. The next one is I visited the little boy's room before coming into your office.
Yeah.
And I was surprised in your little boy's room to see a doll's house, an enormous doll's house. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, you know, like, a lot of people just like to play on their phones when we're on the toilet. I thought, or read a magazine. I thought, something different. Play with a doll's house.
Okay.
Yeah. It does mean all the bits are covered in feces and urine.
You had to go to take it there, didn't you?
No, my wife
We've just lost 3,000 listeners at that point.
Well, I'm glad we gained 3,000 listeners initially at first.
Why is it in the...
My wife has decided she wants to redecorate a doll's house I built for her 21st birthday.
Yeah.
Which was...
A new suite.
13 or so years ago. Yeah.
But she's
got a habit of going around the house changing things. So she's kind of redone bedrooms and lounges and dining rooms.
And you said this is costing too much, just do make believe on a doll's house.
So now she's turned to a doll's house. So her sights are on smaller things, which has got me quite relieved, because the worry is she'll run out of things and then look me up and down and think, right, you're out. You're fired.
Well, no, you are a smaller thing, so you're in danger there.
I'm in danger, yeah. Five foot 11, 6 foot when I sit up straight.
So, you wanted to talk about income tax.
Yeah.
Should we do that then?
Okay, so what counts as income?
So, if we're keeping this high level, it's money you earn. So, it could be salary from a job.
Yeah.
It could be self-employed income. It could be interest on your savings. Could be dividends on your shares, rental income from properties, just to name a few areas there.
Okay.
I know you always like to know the origin of a tax.
Okay.
Don't you?
Yeah, I do. I love a bit of history.
You do. So I just had a quick look as to where income tax first started.
Okay. Sheffield.
You're not far off. The first income tax is attributed to Egypt.
Oh.
So you are far off, I lied.
In denial.
It was originally 1% of people's wealth.
Wealth.
So that could have been their land, their horses, pyramids. What else do they own in Egypt? Camels.
All things
like that. And then in the United Kingdom, it was first brought in, or the first records of income tax being brought in, are in 1798.
Oh.
Prime Minister at that point was William Pitt. The younger. He brought it in to pay for weapons and equipment for the French Revolutionary War.
Oh.
So, vive la résistance.
So, now that war was over, so what's our income tax paying for now?
Well, there you go, exactly. That's the question on everyone's lips. Well, income tax goes into the pot that the government have for all their taxes, and it pays for all the other things, the services, benefits, all the expenditure that you have come to love from this country.
I see.
So, not everyone has to pay income tax, eh?
What?
No, so, we all get given an allowance.
Ah.
That allowance is the amount we are allowed to earn each year before we have to start paying income tax.
Right. What's the current allowance?
Currently, it's £12,500.
So, you can earn £12,500 before you have to pay any tax?
Yes. I'm saying yes with a pause, because we're doing this at a high level. We're keeping it simple. So, yeah, you can have income of £12,500 before you need to start paying any tax.
Okay.
It's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, that is nice.
I mean, it'd be nice if there was no income tax at all, which there is in some countries.
Is there?
Yeah.
What do they pay instead? How do they fund their services?
So, you know what? It's as if we're two of the same people. Because I was looking up some income tax rates from around the world.
Okay.
And I thought, exactly the same question. Well, if they've got zero, how do they pay for their services? So, I'll tell you what we'll do before we get into that.
Yeah.
Should I do a little quiz on you, Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you like a good quiz.
All right, let me get comfortable.
Some
put my trousers on.
Income tax rates around the world.
Okay.
Okay. Let's start with Australia.
Australia? Good aim, mate. No, I can't do accents.
What do you think is their lowest and highest income tax rate?
I think their lowest is 8%.
Right.
Is that right?
No.
You're just saying...
I was saying, sort of carry on.
Acknowledging,
yeah.
What I'm talking.
Acknowledged. Sorry, I'll do that in future.
And then the highest is 21%.
Acknowledged. Both incorrect.
Right.
Lowest is 0, highest is 47%.
Wow.
Yeah.
But what do you have to earn to...
I haven't gone into that much detail for you today, Mark.
Okay.
If you want that, we'll follow up with that. What about Barbados?
Barbados? I reckon that's going to be a low place as well. So 0 is the lowest...
Acknowledged.
and 15 is the highest.
You're going 0 to 15?
Yeah.
I can tell you the correct answer is 25 to 38%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Would you like to know about the United States of America?
Yes.
Go on, then.
Oh, right. I think it's going to be high. So
acknowledged.
I'm going to go for 30 and 45.
Acknowledged. Gets a bit confusing in the United States because they've got federal taxes as well as state taxes.
Wow.
But you've got federal taxes starting at 10% and going up to between 37 and 50%.
Oh, it's close to the highest.
Yeah, what about the UK? So let's see if you know the UK.
So I believe in the UK you have a basic tax rate of 20%.
Acknowledged.
And then it's 40% for the higher rate.
Acknowledged.
And then 45% for the additional higher rate.
It's also been acknowledged.
I think they're all correct.
Yeah, you're pretty much there.
Well, pretty much.
Ignoring the 0% that we've already mentioned, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the UK bandings, as they know.
Okay.
So we've said on your first £12,500...
Yeah.
You can earn... on your first £12,500, you pay zero tax. On the next £37,500...
Yep.
You pay 20% tax. That's the basic rate tax. Okay. Or in other words, up to 50,000 is 20% tax. Then on the next £100,000, you pay 40% tax.
Okay.
So between on your earnings between 50,000 and 150,000. And above £150,000, you pay 45% tax. That's called the additional.
Above £150,000.
Correct. Yeah. There's like an echo in here, but yes.
I thought you said a different number.
Well, I might do. When you edit this, you'll find out if I did.
Okay. So when
this is England, by the way. It's slightly different than Scotland, but we're not going to worry about them today.
No. When Jeremy
Corbyn... they want to leave anyway, don't they?
Yeah. Okay. Can you interrupt me again? When Jeremy...
I might do.
When it
knock,
was...
knock.
Who's there?
The interrupting sheep.
The interrupting
sheep. Anyway, carry on.
When Labour wanted to come into power, and when they had their general election manifesto, they wanted to reduce the rate at which you pay the additional rate to 80 grand, didn't they?
Yeah, well, I acknowledge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they said, and luckily, we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But they said that they want more people to pay a higher percentage of tax.
Yeah.
So, more people would have paid that 45%. It's a bit worrying, really.
Yeah.
Because although 80,000 is a good income and well above the national average, it's not a life-changing amount.
Yeah.
But most of our clients are earning close to that or above that.
Mm. So how is that paid, that tax?
So there's a few different ways. There's something called PAYE.
Pay as you earn.
Correct. Where if you're employed... your employer deducts your tax each month and pays that over to HMRC for you.
Okay.
The other most common option is what's called self-assessment, as you know all about nowadays.
I have to do a self-assessment tax return.
So that is once a year you fill in a return, or your accountant, whoever it may be, fills in a tax return, declares your income.
I declare
an income.
Right.
And then and within that, HMRC calculate how much tax you owe.
Yeah.
You have to pay that twice a year. 31st of January and 31st of
June, July.
Second one is correct.
July.
Yeah.
That's for payments on accounts you have to pay.
One of them is, yeah.
The July one.
Do you want to go there today?
No.
Well, no, you're right.
I am right.
But also in January you pay payment on account for the next year.
Yeah. So, yeah. So the tax year finishes in April and you have to pay the tax for that year the following January.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, that's online, but there's also a paper form, isn't there, where you can do that if you're doing self-assessment.
Yeah, most people do it online.
Yeah.
But there is a old-school version as well.
So when you do a tax return, this is slightly tangential,
yeah.
But do you think it's worth doing your tax return as soon as the tax year ends, so you know how much you have to pay? Because I do that, so then I sort of say, this is how much my income tax bill was, so that's how much I have to budget before paying in January.
It's not a bad idea. I'm slightly different that I, rather than submitting my tax return quickly after the end of the tax year, during the year, I put money aside My tax bill.
But how do you know how much to put aside?
Well, I know the most it could be.
Yeah.
It's going to be 45% of my income.
Yeah.
So if I put 45% away every month, then I'm covered. Or if I think I'm going to earn between 0 and £50,000, and therefore the highest I'm going to pay is 20%, I would put 20% away every month.
Okay.
Yeah. But although I can submit it, I am an accountant, I don't do it anymore. I leave it to my accountant to submit for me. I've got other more important things to do.
You do? Such as?
Record podcasts. No, spend time with the family.
Yeah.
Play with the kids. I'd rather let someone else do it and have the hassle.
So how can you reduce your income tax bill?
Earn less income.
But there are other ways, such as...
Well, that is the...
That is, yeah. But you don't, obviously you don't want to earn less.
Like, we're talking legally, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pensions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So money you pay into pensions, you get tax relief.
Yeah. If you take child... If you're a parent and you have childcare vouchers, that can also reduce the income you pay, can't it?
Well, it's not necessarily taking the childcare vouchers. What you're doing is taking less income from your employer. So you're getting less income.
Yeah.
So you're substituting some of your income for a childcare voucher.
Yeah.
And therefore you're paying less income tax because your income is less. You get charity contributions help reduce your tax bill.
Okay.
So give a little to charity. There are certain types of investments you can make, which I don't think we'll cover today.
Yeah.
So there are lots of things you can do.
Okay.
It might be an idea for another episode.
Maybe.
Yeah, so ways to bring your income tax. But then if that's something you guys want to hear, let us know and we'll talk about it.
So how much of an issue would it be if all these bans were changed?
When you say an issue?
Like for people...
In which direction?
Yeah. In which if they were increased.
So the rates got more lenient?
No, the actual... So if
so like that labour policy?
Yeah.
Shall I tell you a story?
Okay.
First came across this in the Telegraph, actually, but it's a famous story.
Yeah.
And it explains the tax system using beer. So
beer
analogy.
What type of beer?
Have you had any more of that toast one that we had in the last episode?
I have.
Yeah?
Some pale ale.
Yeah, enjoyed it?
It's nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, I must apologise for my voice. Not the fact that it's miserable and dull, but it keeps going. So hopefully our listeners can bear with me. I've had a bit of a cough. Okay.
That's what it costs.
So we're going to use the example. 10 guys go out for a beer and the bill comes to £100.
Yeah.
Okay, and they split the bill the same way that they pay their taxes.
How many beers do they have?
I don't know. It's not part of the story.
Okay.
Irrelevant for
this
the story.
Is, like,
10,
is what,
one each. Okay.
So wait, how much were they paying per beer?
Well, you could do the maths. 10 beers, one each.
And it was how much?
£100.
£10 for a beer?
The guy's a genius.
No, but that's a very expensive beer. This is what going out with my wife is like. She goes into the minutiae.
If you want the minutiae, we'll do the minutiae. But we're not going to do the minutiae.
Okay. £10 for a beer, ridiculous. Go on.
So, they agree to pay the bill like the way we pay our taxes. So the first four men, the poorest, they pay nothing.
Okay.
Okay. The fifth guy pays £1.
Yeah.
The sixth guy pays £3. The seventh guy pays £7.
Yeah.
The eighth guy pays £12. The ninth guy pays... Pies? The ninth guy pays £18.
He was drinking Foster's. This is Australia. Yeah.
And the tenth guy, the richest guy, he pays £59. So that's what they've agreed to do.
Okay.
And I think what we'll do is, if I email you this story, you could put it in the notes if people want to see all the numbers in front of them.
Okay.
So they drank in the bar every week and they were quite happy until the owner said, you know what, you're such good customers, I'm going to take £20 off your weekly bill. Okay, so instead of paying £100, the 10 guys were going to pay...
£80.
The guy's a genius, sign him up. Okay. So they still wanted to pay the bill the way they pay their taxes.
Yeah.
So the fourth guys, the first four guys would be no change. They're still drinking for free. What about the other six? Ones that we're paying at the moment. So they wanted to work out how could they divide that £20 windfall between everyone so they all got their fair share. If they divide it by six, that'd be £3.33 each. But if everyone got £3.33 off their bill, then as well as the first four guys drinking for free, the fifth and the sixth guy would end up getting paid to drink their beer if they got £3.33 back, okay, because they were paying less than £3.33. So the bar owner, he had an idea, Mark. He suggested, why don't they reduce each person's bill by a percentage in the way that they do with their tax system, to follow the tax system. Okay. So he worked out how much each guy is going to pay. So the fifth man, like the first four, would now pay nothing. So he'd get 100% saving. The sixth man would now pay £2 instead of £3. So he gets a 33% saving. The seventh man now pays £5 instead of £7. So he gets a 28% saving. The eighth man now pays £9 instead of £12. He has a 25% saving. The ninth man pays £14 instead of £18. So he gets a 22% saving. And the tenth man, he pays £49 instead of £59. So he gets a 16% saving. So each of the last six were better off than before, and the first four continue to drink for free. Everyone's happy, but then they go outside the bar and they start comparing their savings. So the sixth guy moans, I only got £1 out of the £20 savings. Points at the tenth man, he says, but he got £10 saving. The fifth man goes, yeah, I only got a £1 saving too. It's unfair that he got 10 times more benefit than me. The seventh guy goes, why should he get £10 back when I only get £2 back? The wealthy get all the breaks. See you smiling there. This is sounding familiar, isn't it? Wait a minute, the first four guys shout at the same time. We didn't get anything at all. This tax system exploits the poor. So the nine guys surround the tenth guy and beat him up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next week, tenth man didn't show up for drinks.
Yeah.
So the nine guys are sitting down and having their beers without him. And suddenly the bill gets presented.
Yeah.
And they discovered an important fact at this point. Between the nine of them, they didn't have enough money between them even to pay half of the bill.
Oh, interesting.
So that is, in a nutshell, not in a nutshell, in an analogy, how our tax system works. Naturally, people who already pay the highest taxes are going to get the most benefit from a tax reduction. But if we tax them too much or moan at them for being wealthy, they might just not turn up anymore and might go and live in a different country.
That's a good story. Isn't one of the Labour arguments, though, that many, that 10th person in some cases isn't paying any tax, that they're using schemes to avoid actually paying?
Is it? Is that the Labour argument?
That's their argument.
What would you say to that?
I don't think it's true, because there's lots of different taxes.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. It's because obviously they're creating jobs, and then there's job creation. Yeah, so national insurance that they'll be paying and all other taxes that we don't want to get into.
Yeah, no, but you're right. So I think you can push people only so far before they say, you know what, enough's enough. I'm just not going to pay anymore. So there was talk of the income tax rates going up. There was talks of corporation tax rates going up. And take someone like me, who is just a lowly financial planner, but running a business, it gets to a point where you think, you know what, it's not worth bothering. Why bother running a business if I just got to pay all that money over in tax? Mm. So suddenly I stop running a business, the government don't get the corporation tax anymore, I'm employing five people, suddenly they lose their jobs, the government don't get the income tax from that.
Yeah.
If those five people don't have jobs, then the government don't get VAT.
Yeah.
Goods that people buy, suddenly they have to pay benefits to these people. Individuals are then in the country aren't getting financial advice and therefore are going to have to pay more, claim on more benefits. So sometimes these theories and proposals seem great at the outset, but don't always look at the knock-on effect.
And that, I think, is a basic overview of income tax.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I've got a
Del Boy would
you,
be
Mark.
Proud.
Okay, Del Boy doesn't do income tax.
Yeah.
I'm just looking over your shoulder.
Yeah.
And I notice a bright yellow square piece of plastic with penalty charge notice written on the front. Now, I haven't had one of those for a long time.
Have you not?
But isn't that a parking fine?
This is a parking
fine. What's going on?
Fine.
What's brought you been up to?
So, over the previous weekend, my family, me, my wife and two children...
I know what family means.
...ventured into Camden Town to spend time together as a unit. And we were driving around for places to park with my wife's disabled badge, so we were close and somewhere not too far to walk.
Yeah.
And a lot of the places, spaces were suspended because they were filming, although there was no evidence of any filming.
I always find that parking suspension one a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
You're not sure whether that means you can park or you can't park.
Yeah. So we found somewhere near where we want to go that just said permit holders only between this time. And the blue badge disabled rules in Camden are you can park anywhere where it says, well, it actually says you can park anywhere where it's a resident permit.
Right.
So we saw a space that said permit only, and we thought it was fine.
Yeah.
So we went and did whatever we were doing, played a little bit of mini golf, had a bit of lunch.
Lovely.
Got back and there's a traffic warden there happily writing out our fine. And I said, oi!
They still write them out nowadays.
No, well, no, he did a... Well, yeah, they write it on a little receipt and they sign it and they have to take photos.
Okay.
And so I said, all right.
You say, oi.
Oi, governor. But obviously, you don't want to be too aggressive with your children there. So I was polite.
So
not like my wife, but...
Yeah.
I sort of said, well, what are you doing? We've got... Did you not see the blue badge? Blah, blah, blah. And he went blah blah blah, and then he said, "Oh no, this is a space only for market traders."
Oh, speaking of Delboy.
So I looked at the sign, and in a little grey box,
yeah,
it says MKT. Would you know what MKT stood for?
Yeah, market traders.
Yeah, but now,
yeah.
But if you had just been driving around looking for a space for your disabled wife, so she didn't have to walk far, and you finally happen upon this one. And you see permit holders and you think, fine. You don't notice it doesn't say resident permit holders. And you don't notice this little grey box that says MKT or know what MKT stands for.
So what are you going to do? You're going to appeal it?
I'm going to appeal it on that basis.
Yeah.
That it's not clear what MKT stands for. If you go to their website, it says you can park in any bays unless it's for traders or businesses, but it doesn't specify how they say what a trader is, what a market trader is. Who knows?
Good luck with it.
You get to... But what angered me the most was he was... writing out the ticket as we were walking, as we were approaching. So he could have, he just said to us, oh, I'm doing my job, you're parking illegally, I was told I need to come and give you a fine.
Yeah, fair enough.
Fine.
Are they still on commission, these guys?
Are they?
Not anymore. There was a story a while ago they're on commission.
Oh, I didn't know that. That would have been good to know. But he sort of said, I'm just doing my job, but you know, these people aren't, these people aren't robots, are they? He saw we were coming, we were moving, we're about to leave. Sometimes I think you could use common sense.
Yeah, you're right. But also, I do sometimes feel sorry for these people.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone really wants to be a parking attendant or traffic warden, as I think we call it. No one grows up saying, mummy, I want to be a traffic warden. So it's probably the job he could get.
Mm.
He's told he's got to do it. So don't be annoyed with him.
I'm not annoyed with
him. Be annoyed with the system.
The system, yes. System. So I'll let you know how that appeal goes.
Yeah, please do.
Tune in to in however many days' time.
6 to 8 weeks, however long it takes.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Lovely. And that's all we've got time for.
Oh, already?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to save a penny for your thoughts for next week.
Yeah, we will.
Okay.
Well,
pass the pod.
Don't forget to pass the pod if you enjoy the show.
If you haven't,
just pass it to someone you don't like.
Yeah.
Leave us a review. That's what keeps us going. Makes us feel good.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much. See you in the next episode.
Please remember, anything discussed in this programme should not be viewed as financial advice. But if you do need support, please contact me at mark@cavendishcontent.com or visit the Orchard Practice website at www.topfs.co.uk.
You can also find us on Twitter at InForAPennyPod1, at Mark Schoffman, and at Josh Gersler. If you'd like to leave us feedback, there's a link in the show notes telling you how to do that. We really appreciate any comments you provide.
And do post any financial issues you'd like us to cover.